Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Hello, friends and lovers. It's Eva here with a solo podcast introduction today, though, of course, Kylie sends her love. How is everyone doing on this hot summer of 2020? I don't know if it's hot where you are, but in Arizona, it is definitely trying my patience. I will tell you that. And then last week I was on my period and I just went through an emotional roller coaster, and I'm literally feeling like a new person today, which I'm so grateful for. But I share all of this to say, like, this truly is a roller coaster. I don't know if anyone else is feeling that out there, but just like, of course, the pandemic, politics, and then our own emotional stuff, our, you know, hormones. For me, it's like my period. I can get really, really sad and like depressed and anxious, particularly around my period, which is when like self-care is particularly helpful. Which actually, I want to preview, we're actually having a hormone and menstruation expert on the show in a couple of weeks, which I'm very excited about because I have a ton of questions. So if you're like me and you struggle with that time of the month, you'll want to keep your ears open or your eyes open for that episode. But anyway, it just really struck me today of like how much all of this is. And I know some days I feel like I'm chilling. Some days I'm like, yeah, this is great. I like love my job. I love my partner. I feel so grateful for all these things. And then other days I'm just like, when is it going to end? So if you are also feeling this way, I just want to let you know that I see you. I hear you. I love you. I don't think you're in it alone. And I'm so glad that you're here listening to this podcast, because I really do think that it's podcasts like these that can help keep us feeling connected and grounded and sane and loving and help us keep our hearts open rather than closed. Especially this episode, because Jade Hamilton, our guest, oh my goodness, such a delight, such a pure soul of like, she's just down to earth, funny, like heartwarming. She's wonderful. I actually ended up working with her after recording this podcast, because I don't know, when some people, certain people just like, you're attracted to them, you're drawn to them because they just seem like they're really good people and you just really vibe with them. Anyway, Jade was that for me, and we're so lucky and blessed to have her on our show. So before we introduce her, I think there's some quick business. I want to promote something for Kylie. So she actually has her Akashic Record reading course open for enrollment right now. Learn to Read the Akashic Records, it's what it's called. So it's a 4-week long course. Some of you may know that I also personally took it. I think I love that you can learn to read the Akashic Records in 4 weeks. Like, that's what's so cool about it. And if you've like, I don't know, if you've been like curious, and you also have the time now, you're like, yeah, this is a great time for you to be doing this inner work and dive deeper into like the mystical side of spirituality, but also I think your own power and your own intuition. I think this could be a really fun course. So what else do I want to say about this? It starts 8:30, August 30th, at the end of this month, which y'all have less than 2 weeks to sign up, so don't sleep on it. And you can get all the details at her website at akashicgrace.org/learn-to-read-the-akashic-records. And again, y'all know I trust and love Kylie implicitly. I think she's a wonderful teacher. She holds space wonderfully, and I can't recommend it enough. And as for me, so I want to clap my hands. I don't know if you can hear me clapping my hands, but I want to clap my hands. I'm so excited about something, this new project that I want to share with y'all. I'm actually a little bit like nervous and like feeling ushy-gushy sharing it, because I feel it's a sense of excitement. It's also a sense of vulnerability. You know, when you're creating something new and you're putting your heart into a program, but let's see. I don't have all the details yet because it's still in the beginning phases of it. But what I am doing is I'm taking all of the common themes that come up with so many of my clients in terms of like, what does it look like to grow spiritually and actually feel more peaceful? Like to separate ourselves from our own internal suffering that is so often created in our minds. Like when we get in our own way and all of this stuff, and learning how to transform that into real healing. And I think real joy, right? because the the point of life, people, is to be happy and to enjoy our lives. And I think we often forget that. We think that we're so like looking for a purpose, right? Which is like, we think our purpose is outside of ourselves, which is like our career path, our identities, like how people see us, our roles that we play, whether we're like a friend or a mother and all of these things. But I really truly believe that spiritual awakening is about coming home to who and what you are, and learning about who and what you are beyond all of these like labels and identities and our jobs, which are all external. Real joy is about being able to experience joy and happiness right now. That's what spiritual awakening is. And so I'm sort of taking all of these concepts and distilling them down into a 4-week program. It might be 5 weeks, but like, how do we actually do that? And y'all are probably sick of hearing me talk about how I've been like book solid in the past couple of months. And I, you know, I'm only taking on people who've been on the wait list, and, you know, I haven't really been promoting anything because I haven't had anything to promote. And I really just feel like this is such a wonderful opportunity to be able to share something tangible and practical with people who have been interested in this work or interested in spiritual growth or interested in working with me, who don't want to do the one-on-one or want to look for a more affordable option, or you know, or just don't want to be on this wait list. So all of that is coming, and I'm really excited about it because I really think it's going to be super fucking helpful. Like spiritual awakening, but with steps, because y'all know I like to keep it practical. Spiritual awakening and like coming back to joy, but like with a how, right? Because sometimes people are always like, I don't know how to do that. And a lot of that, I'm going to tell you right now, comes from like not living in our minds so much, because that's where so much of our suffering comes from, and learning to live from our hearts, like our bodies, the present moment. It's getting out of like ego and time and trying to just understand everything from the limited capacity of just our minds. And anything that can get us out of our heads and into our hearts is spiritual growth. And I think anyone who's listening who's experienced this, like, you know, that's when we feel our most happy, right? And our most authentic and our most real. So yeah, that's what I want to share. It's going to be probably, let's see, it's August now. I don't even know, maybe October or November until this program actually drops. But I wanted to let you, dear listeners, know about it first. I haven't shared about it on social media or anything yet. But people who are interested, if you get on the wait list, I'm going to be offering a bunch of extra bonuses for people who sign up first. So if you're interested, you can email me at boss@evaliao.com, or you can always find me on Instagram at badbitchliving to get on the wait list, and you'll be the first one to hear about it, and you'll get all the extra juicy bonuses, including some free coaching with me. So yeah, you can find me there. Oh, and also with Kylie, of course, you can find her on Instagram at Akashic Grace. No, wait, nope. You can find Kylie at Instagram at Kylie Caldwell. She had changed her her Instagram. And then of course we have the Hello Universe podcast Facebook group. So if you're not on there yet and you would love an extra dose of us, you can always find us there. All right, y'all. So now to introduce Jade Hamilton. Jade Hamilton is a spiritual seeker and healer, using both the Akashic Records and Psych-K to help her clients transform limiting beliefs. Ooh, so what I love most about this episode is Jade's personal story, because like when I first met Jade, she was just like, she's so calm. She's so chill. Like, you'll hear this in her demeanor, but like not calm in like an airy fairy way. She's grounded and super down to earth. But then she shares this amazing story about how like she left her job in film and like traveled around the world and like met her husband and all this time sort of dealing with trauma. And it's just it's such a dope ass story, and it's so inspiring for people who don't want to have to live life in this traditional way. Jade, I think, really embodies that. Yeah, and she also shares a really beautiful, quite intimate and personal story, actually, about how she discovered Psych-K and how that helped her relieve a lot of the trauma that she has sort of picked up growing up in South Africa. And then she, of course, describes what Psych-K is, because both Kylie and I are like, what is this exactly? So so you'll get all of that in the podcast. And just as a heads up, we recorded this podcast in March of this year. So for those of y'all who are like looking at a calendar, or who like, you know, have been paying attention to this year, how it's unfolded, March is kind of when the whole pandemic was becoming like a serious, serious thing here, at least in America. And it's so funny, because before we even recorded the podcast, Jade and I were talking about how we were traveling. I was planning actually going to Ireland in March to do a workshop. And of course that didn't happen. But since then a lot has changed. And, but at the time, Jade, I think, was like in her third trimester, I believe, of pregnancy. And so she had asked us to, and she was going to go on maternity leave. So she had asked us to sort of put a pause on this podcast and release it when she was back at work. And so she has since then had her second child, which is amazing. And she's back doing one-on-one work with clients. So if you're interested, you can find her, in the show notes. We share all her information in the show notes. But congratulations, Jade. We're so happy to have you back. And I hope you all will love this episode. All right, guys. I love you. Bye.
We are so excited to have Jade with us today. Jade, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, all the way from Ireland.
All the way from Ireland.
So we always like to start our episodes with the same question, which is, what does spirituality mean for you? And how does it show up in your everyday life? Which we recognize is a huge question.
From listening to the other episodes, I was aware the question was coming and decided that thinking about it too much was probably not such a great idea. But
twice.
On a very personal level, what it means for me is to show up on a daily basis and connect to myself, to like answer that call, that yearning that I have inside to learn something new, to explore, to create some space for myself in the world that I find can be a little bit chaotic and overwhelming at times when I get too involved, absorbed. I think as I dive deeper into my own spirituality, it's about at the moment it's about somehow trying to actually merge those two worlds, because when I was much younger, it was definitely about, oh, it's either this or this. It's like I spend time here and I spend time here, and the two worlds could never meet. And in the last, I'd say six to ten years, I've been finding ways of integrating my spiritual self into my daily life, which has been incredibly fulfilling and challenging at the same time.
Yes, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yep. Man, that's such a beautiful answer. I love how different everyone's answer to this question is. I also really love the phrasing about answering the call endless and answering sort of the yearning inside, and that really resonates with me. And I guess I'm wondering if you could speak more to how you experience that, what that looks like and feels like for you.
I think at different times in my life, it's looked very different. In my teenage years, it showed up a lot. It's like a not fitting in or a inability to really connect to probably a group, and one-on-one I was okay, but groups of people would be really challenging for me. It also showed up a lot of like, oh, there's something that's not easy or not simple inside of me that kind of challenged me a lot. But in the last in the last 10 years, it's like when I've really been answering that call, I've the more I've dug into myself, the more I've realized that that process of digging and understanding who I am and how I actually want to show up feeds me so much. It's just like, just the sense of the deeper I go, the more I'm just like, oh, I just, what's underneath? Where do I go next? How can I get deeper? What is it? And interestingly enough, it's also taken me further and further away from people. I went from living in a big city to living in the countryside with sheep on the one side and cows on the other side. and where you couldn't keep me home for an hour, I now can spend days without leaving the house, feeling very satisfied and fulfilled and
I love that.
Eager to learn more.
I was also, the thing that stood out to me about what you said also was this part about answering the call. And I was wondering if this is just a theoretical question, if everyone has that, the, that call. And I'm thinking about this specifically because I just got off the phone with a client who, I guess, she was talking about how she came from a very religious background. And so therefore, you know, when you grow up with certain religions, you tend to just take your learning as without questioning it so much. And so you just sort of, you don't, it's easy, I think, to just trust what you're taught and not really go within. Mm-hmm. And I think she, this is a process that's new for her, and she's really understanding the value of this idea of knowing thyself. We just had a whole conversation about knowing thyself, and I was like, it's the most important, it is like the basis for all of life, I feel like. And I guess I'm a little bit fascinated by this idea that maybe, does everybody feel that? Or do you, I'm fascinated by the idea that maybe there are people out there who don't feel that. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not speaking from experience here, except that I saw an astrologer once, and I don't have the right terminology to explain this properly, but, you know, he looked at my chart, and if this, if it's a circle, it's kind of all squished down in the bottom, in the bottom half of, like, it's like doesn't look very balanced at all. And his like one liner of that was, I was very involved in my spirituality and my, like, there was like, that call was obvious for me. It's reflected in my astrological chart. So I don't know, maybe it's not the same for everybody. Maybe some people feel like they're much happier just staying in a conscious, bubble and not exploring what lies underneath. I don't know.
Okay, this is just going to sound so arrogant, but I'm like, is that possible? Like, can you go through life like that? I know that's just, it sounds ignorant probably and arrogant, because I'm sure you probably can. It's just, to me, there feels like such a divide. Like, how do you live a fulfilling life that feels free and true if you are not answering that call of, you know, connecting with yourself, knowing yourself, understanding, what your subconscious beliefs are, all of that stuff.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't really feel possible, but maybe that's because I'm so squished down in the bottom of the chart.
Right, that's what I mean. Maybe I'm also very, on the extreme of this side.
But maybe there is a way to show up inquiring about yourself, but just more conscious. And the word consciously there feels strange, but in a, less like what's buried deep inside of me kind of way, out of way, and maybe how do I present myself more in the world? I don't know, but maybe there's a different way to do it like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kylie, what do you think? Too, well, the thing that I'm thinking about is my two kids and how from the second my daughter was born, like literally the first day, I could feel and see how she was such a completely different person than her brother. And like, they're both I'm trying to think of how to say this and how this feels like the answer to the question, but like, for example, yeah, it's just clear to me that they have come into the world. There's a lot of overlapping things. Like, they're both like just ridiculously goofy and happy all the time. But my daughter like loves doing her own thing. She loves tiny things. Like, if there's a spot on the, there's a spot in the corner of my floor that she like constantly crawls over and is like picking at and trying to like pick up, and she's like fascinated by it. And my son is all grand gestures. Like, he like loves to be on a stage and like, you know. And so to me, the path for both of them of like figuring out what it means to show up authentically will be different. And I wouldn't be surprised, again, it's still really early, I don't want to overread my kids, but I wouldn't be surprised if my daughter's path involves a lot of like going deep and inward and like signs up for 10-day meditation retreats. And I wouldn't be surprised if my son's path is like more about like action. And I don't say that in a gendered way, because but in the just in the energy of the way that they show, if that answers the question. So maybe we're all smushed down in the bottom of the truck.
Yeah.
But maybe the like path in which you find authenticity is different. Does that?
And
that's that, what you said there about showing up authentically. I think that's the key. It's like, for me, it's authentic to dive really deep, you know, mm-hmm. and for someone else, that authenticity, it doesn't take away from their experience. It's just a different experience.
Right.
To have.
It's like all about what makes you feel like in the present moment, I think. And you're right. I think we've talked about this before, where I think for some people, they're not doing the work. Some people, they just are. They're just maybe just being in the world. They just are. And for me, I feel like it takes me a long time to understand things and process things. And I actually move quite slowly. So I need a lot of time to reflect and understand what's going on. And so I think that's why it's harder for me to just be in the world, I think, as easily as I think for other people it can be sometimes. You know.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you, Jade. So you're a Psyche facilitator, and the reason to tell our audience, the reason we connected is because Jade, I stumbled across Jade online, and I am the kind of person, just for context, who like follows someone for months before I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna book a session with this person. And I don't know what came over me. It was like a trance of like, oh, I don't even know what Psyche is. Like, it sounds maybe like a cereal.
Let's just be honest, like, the name is not the greatest name.
Yeah. But I was like, or maybe it's a drug you do at a rave. Like, I don't know.
That's so true. It does sound like a drug, a rave drug.
But I just booked a session. I've literally never done that, but I just felt so called and still didn't really understand. And then when we started working together, you were sort of like, do you want me to explain? And I was like, no, because I think I'm just supposed to experience whatever this is. And so since, like, I've learned a little bit more, but first of all, and it was amazing and working, is it hyperbolic to say life-changing? I'm saying it anyway. So I guess my first question on your work is like, can you just explain what Psyche is?
Yes, because I tried to look into it. You know, I went onto Wikipedia and I read about it and I was like, I think I'm just going to need Jade to explain this to me.
It was interesting because I was having this conversation with some friends who came to visit on the weekend. They came to see me from Germany. We hadn't connected for a year, and I was trying to explain it to them. And so Psyche is a physical change process to work on subconscious limiting beliefs. And that doesn't really explain what it is.
Well, no, actually, just by saying that, I think I understand more, because I know it has something to do with kinesiology, right? So are you talking about body movements? When you say physical, do you mean how you move your body?
Yeah. So just to be clear, there's muscle testing involved, but it's not connected to kinesiology.
Oh,
there are what we call belief points that on the body, which could look like they connect to acupressure, but they're not connected.
Oh, okay.
To acupressure. There's some kind of reprogramming in the, you know, getting the brain into one kind of state and reprogramming, which maybe feels like it connects it to hypnotherapy, but it's not connected to hypnotherapy. Psyche was received as a download in itself. It was like, here you go. You know, it's
and you mean by one person?
By one person, yeah.
There are a lot of stories about this, though. Somebody will just be like meditating for a couple of days and receive all this information. Like, that's not a unique story, but anyway, sorry, go on. I just think that's interesting.
So to be honest, I'm not so fascinated by his story, but anyway, he used to be like some CEO of some company in the States, and he was like, then he left and he was like, what am I doing? And he was like, I need to change the world some way. And he was trying to do something and it wasn't really going so well. And all of a sudden he received this download. And then he just worked in his own practice with, you know, with people one-on-one for many years. And I think only in the last 10, 12 years, he's been teaching it to teach it. So there's instructors around the world that teach it now. But yes, going back to, it is physical change process. So there's either body, like movements that you do with your body, or you go into certain positions that create a state, a whole brain state, which allow for reprogramming. Sounds very technical again, but just like the overriding of a negative patterning in your subconscious. So the processes can take anywhere from like 2 to 3 minutes to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. Depending on which process your higher conscience, you know, we're muscle testing with the subconscious and the higher self, kind of alternating between the two. But just really, sorry.
It's okay, was that your husband?
Yeah, so it's like, is it working fine?
Yeah.
Tell me. Okay. So yeah, physical change process, whichever one you choose, and it's and then it's done within the session. So the change has been made on a subconscious level, mm-hmm. and then it's just about, like, that's created the potential for you to make changes in your life. And then it's about manifesting those changes in the conscious world. But I think the key, like, step before that is understanding, and maybe a lot of people listening to this do understand, but from the time you're in utero until about the age of 7, your brain is functioning in a very different way to the way our brains function now. So every experience you have during that time is absorbed as reality. So you don't filter anything. It's the opposite of filtering. You're creating your filter system based on all the experiences you have. Hmm. And the primary, well, one of the main functions of the subconscious is to keep you safe. So it takes everything that it receives, changes that into filters to go, how can this best keep me safe in my life going forward? And a lot of the time, by the time you hit 20, 30, 40, 50, those beliefs are no longer serving you. And mm-hmm. yet they're still creating this subconscious patterning, or these they kind of show up as self-sabotaging patterns, or you know, limiting beliefs that really stop you from creating the life you want. So you're like, oh, I'm in this job and I hate my boss, and why, you know, so I change jobs, and like, well, geez, this boss is exactly the same as the last boss. It's like just creating the same situation for you to live out that story because you believe that to be reality. So mm-hmm. in that sense, the technique's incredibly powerful, because if you can identify those patterns, the work of overriding them and changing them is very simple.
Okay. What I think is very cool though, is about, because I think we all have a basic understanding of like your subconscious beliefs create your reality, right? Yeah. But what I think is so interesting about Psyche is that it involves the physical body, and yeah. which on a basic level makes sense to me, I think, because our body in itself is incredibly intuitive and wise, and it's all, and we're all connected. So it would make sense that you would just utilize everything, you know. But when you say it's physical, can you give me some examples of like what that looks like?
So there's a very simple whole brain posture that we'd put somebody in if they, for example, wanted to work through a trauma. So it's literally checking in through muscle testing. If you cross your arms this way, if you cross your legs that way, and you sit in that position for some time, and this has been checked scientifically, so there is a lot of science to back up Psyche, but sitting in that position, and it is specific to you at that time, creates a physical crossfiring between the two hemispheres of the brain, which allow you to bring your right hemisphere and your left hemisphere together to function as a whole, to then not relive, but reprocess that trauma and allow you to understand that it's come to an end, because the subconscious doesn't understand past, present or future, or past or future. It's just always in the present. So it's like, oh, that traumatic thing is always happening to me. Mm. Whereas if you can end it and you can say, well, now you're safe, then you allow for an immense amount of healing just to take place, just getting that person out of the fight or flight state. Does that answer the...
Yeah, that sounds very, very cool.
In my experience too, what's so incredible about it is I feel like those of us who dig deep, as we've been talking about, and are really introspective and curious about all this stuff, like, we are pretty self-aware of the things that we do or the beliefs that we hold that aren't necessarily serving us. I mean, there's always new things that we're learning, but like, you could right now, I bet everyone listening could rattle off a list of like, these are the beliefs that on some level I hold that that stand in the way of stepping into the life that I want to live. And sometimes it can feel so fucking frustrating to get past them, right? You're like, okay, I see the like giant boulder that's standing in front of me, but that's what it feels like. It feels like trying to move a boulder.
Yeah, you're like, what do I do with this? Yeah,
exactly. And so the thing that has been really cool about Psyche, and you know, I only know it from experiencing a few sessions with Jade, is like, oh, what if you could like dissolve the boulder and then walk forward instead of trying so hard to like, you know, move it. And I think, you know, I think it's really interesting when we just can shift our perspective and like, well, what are the tools that are available to me? And does it actually have to be this hard? So I don't know.
Yeah. For me, like that was an incredible experience. I mean, through my 20s, I was in therapy a lot, and I would sit there and, you know, every week you'd go in and you'd like, I used to laugh because my therapist like couldn't even get a question in edgewise. I was so like busy telling her like what was going on in my life and this, you know, this amazing like revelation I'd had, or like, you know, like I think it's about this, right? Like literally she couldn't get a question in. but it was still just this like, oh, well, I just have to show up here every week and I don't know, like report back or process but like, where does the shift, where does the shift happen? And it just felt like, well, that's it. You know, I was affected by a lot of crime growing up in South Africa, and it's like, okay, well now I have all that trauma. How am I supposed to move through that? Okay. I go and I sit and I talk to this lady once a week, and hopefully one day I feel safe enough to drive my car at night again, you know, and this feeling that the healing process takes so much longer than the trauma. And I'm talking about trauma specifically, but it's not only limited to trauma. And my incredible experience with Psyche, and not only Psyche, because I had this experience with other practitioners, you know, before working with energy healers and feeling things drastically shift inside of myself, but really just my own process with Psyche has been like, oh, wow. You know, because, you know, Kylie, we worked on 1, 2, 3 sessions and we get an hour and a half together and we get to go through something. But I sit every day for an hour and a half and just like, okay, and I'm going to shift that. And I really have these moments where I feel like my physical body is expanding. I'm like, oh, I get to take up more space right now. I'm just moving through the stuff so quickly. And part of the work that I've had to do is believing that that's possible, you know, to believe that healing can be instantaneous, to believe that I can shift all of this stuff and I don't have to wait years and years and years to clear it.
Yeah.
That sounds healing like fun. You're just like in your living room, let me shift this. That sounds awesome.
My little toddler's like, Mom, stop doing Psyche.
Oh my goodness.
So well, literally he's 2.5 and he's going, stop doing something.
That's hilarious. Okay, what were you gonna ask?
Well, that was actually one of the questions that I had, was like learning so much about the subconscious and the way 0, you know, in utero to 7 forms us, like how does that impact your parenting? Because sometimes I find that like beautiful, empowering, and sometimes I find like, oh my God, this is too much responsibility. Like today my son goes, he's 3, and he goes, said something about, you know, oh, I'm going to dance with Birdie because she's a girl and I'm a boy. And I was like, oh shit. You know, so I'm like, you know, talking about like, no, girls dance with girls and boys dance with boys. And I was like, and in fact, you know, some people aren't girls or boys. Like some people you can be either in between. He goes, yeah, some people aren't girls or boys. Then they're robots.
Oh my God.
And I really thought of my cousin who's genderqueer. And I was like, well, they would think that being a robot is awesome, but not quite.
Yeah.
And it was just this moment of like, well, yeah, because the world that you live in is really gendered and your preschool is gendered. And like, man, I'm screwing this up already. Yeah. So I'm curious to know how you feel that's impacted your parents.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey for me, that one. especially because with Psyche, it's there are ways to surrogate. So I can actually offer balances to him even at that young age as well. And that adds this other layer of, like, not only am I responsible of how I parent you and who I, you know, who you interact with in the world is somehow my responsibility as well. I have this weird feeling, like, in terms of forming you into this person that you'll you know, grow up to be in a strange way. Like the forming part being strange, you know, it's like, of course you're your own person, but I'm somehow responsible for that. And then there's this other layer of, like, oh, but I have this tool and I also have to use it really responsibly, because I can't, I mean, firstly, it's not possible to do any, we call them balances, these processes, we call them balances in Psyche. It's not possible to do a balance without the permission of somebody's higher conscious. So I can't do a balance that means he'll like to sit in his car seat. Because I really want to.
Yeah.
Or that he'll eat his broccoli. But for me, I've even had to distance it further by going, like, well, I'm not actually sure I want to be doing, like, I'm really having to find my own boundaries within this as a mom. And recently I've just come to a place where we have this beautiful balance in Psyche, which is aligning something with divine perfection. And it essentially offers up the process of a balance, without understanding what the
outcome,
the goal or the outcome is, mm-hmm. at all. So it's just like physically just being a body to facilitate that process for his soul at that time. And so that I find very, very beautiful. In terms of processing what it means to be, like, forming somebody, 0 to 7 years, I find it absolutely, well, no, that's not true. I did find it terrifying. And then a large part of me just had to come to the resolve of, like, you know, he chose this life, and he chose me, and he chose us. And all I can do is, you know, is be the best mom I can be. So, and probably I've had to do a couple of balances on that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about surrender, right? Which is, like,
yeah. Wow.
So again, we'll probably always talk about this on the show, 'cause I feel like it's such an important part of, like, spiritual work, like letting go of control. But yeah, sometimes we need help surrendering too, because it doesn't always come natural to us.
Yeah, totally. Surrenders, it's a topic that's come around for me quite a lot recently. And I came to a realization, probably through Psyche as well, like looking at the meaning attached to things. But I associate surrender with giving up, with hopelessness, with, you know, you surrender, you lost the war. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me was so strong, that realization that subconsciously I'd attached this feeling that it was the end. It was like losing. It was like hopelessness. And it's like, well, no wonder I can never surrender.
Yeah.
Like, totally. No wonder I can never offer up that control and go, like, okay, well, whatever's in my highest good. And that's what you were saying, Kylie. Like, we're so, if we are digging, we're so conscious of the boulders, and then we're also so unconscious of those ones that are, they're hidden, you know, unless something shifts that can just point you in that direction to show you exactly, like, what's standing in the way. It's maybe it's standing right in front of you. Sometimes it's not that easy to see it, you know? And since I've been able to come to that point, I felt like a lot has shifted for me as well. Like, just surrender.
Yes, that is, oh my gosh, there's like a million things I want to say. But one is, I think that is a really good point. Like, you, someone might come to you and say, you know, I really want to, I know I have this X limiting belief. And then as you sit with them, I feel like you're able to, before you even get into the Psyche, but when you're just, because what you do, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is that you kind of, you take a particular statement and limiting belief and reframe it and bring it through the process. So I might come to you and say, like, you know, I hate eating vegetables and I know I need to fix that. And you might help me unpack that, like, there's actually like four layers deeper that are causing the issue with vegetables. And And so I could see, like you said, I could see that boulder, but I couldn't see all the other things. And so that is what's really cool is A, your ability to bring people deeper, and then B, taking them through the psyche process. So I guess, and in my experience, it feels like you use a lot of intuition to guide people to identify what these maybe even, so it's like, okay, I'm bringing one subconscious belief, and you're like, okay, but it's actually this like subconscious. So yeah. Could you speak a little bit of like how that unfolds for you?
Yeah, it's really, I'm not entirely sure, but I do feel like, firstly, if the limiting belief that you're coming with isn't pretty simple, then it's often an indicator that you're not quite there yet, that there's something deeper, that there's something.
Oh, I love that. I completely agree. I do believe that you can, when it's clear, you can sum up your belief in one sentence. It's just like, it's a sentence.
And maybe it's three or four words.
Right, exactly. Sometimes it's a phrase.
It's like a short sentence. It's like, and normally it's going to get you in the chest. Like it's going to, or you're not going to be able to say it. You like walk in going like, this is the thing, you know? So it's, and that's not to say that some people don't come and they are at that place where they totally understand. But for me, there's like holding that space where, and asking questions that allows people to find a place where it's like, oh, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like that moment of like, oh yes, you know, or that then you know you've got to something that's really, really real, you know.
So I have another question for you, which is what is your own journey? Right, like you know, in a soundbite.
I don't know if we have enough time.
Yeah, I didn't know that you grew up in South Africa, though. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I'm South African. Fourth generation South African. When you say my own journey, like, you want to know, like...
You know, what was it like when you came out of the womb? When
yeah, right. It's your first sound. No, I guess I'm just... I feel like people who are really spiritually curious, like, I feel like there's a... we've been on a path, right? And there's usually some like points along the way that you can point to where that push you into this work or the the work, not just being like you as a psychic, but like the work of
the spiritual work, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, your process work.
Well, sometimes it's a push, sometimes it's a pull. but to sort of tack on a question at the end, I am also curious how you found Psych K. So it's kind of a bigger question as to like, how did you get into this, into spirituality, really? Were you, you know, were you always spiritual? And then how did that end up with you becoming a Psych K facilitator?
Yeah. So I'll try and keep it brief. But I was raised in a really small town in South Africa, which is relevant because there were a lot of churches and it was relatively conservative. And it was South Africa, which is in itself such a separation, you know, on so many levels. It's, yeah, it's just like how to be more separate as a, you know, feel more separate from humanity. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. And then to always be like a little bit of an outsider. So, you know, my friends would come over when I was like 12 and they'd be like, is this house an art gallery? Like, like we don't really understand this.
Wait, why? Because
not
your parents
that it was anything
like...
special, just that, you know, my folks were a bit alternative. And my dad had long hair and he's a ceramicist and he was always covered in clay and we were just a bit odd, you know. We didn't go to church, we didn't really fit in. We were like nice people,
Mm-hmm.
But I just was a bit like, oh, maybe you're at arms, you know, maybe we just hold you there mm-hmm. a little bit at arms length. So there was just that constant sense of separation. And I think it was really obvious for me. Not that I understood it, but that I felt it really obviously throughout my teenage years. And then as I got older, I coped by just suppressing that feeling of being different. Like I got to move away from that tiny town and go. I lived in London for a year and then I moved back to South Africa, but I lived in like Johannesburg and Cape Town, the really big cities, and I got to like choose who I wanted to interact with, and I got to, you know, get involved in these more alternative groups of communities, I guess. But still I felt like I was just constantly suppressing a part of myself. And I landed up working in the film industry for a while, worked for 10 years, and that was really me just resisting and pushing back my spirituality completely. That was like, I mean, I'm an incredibly emotional person, and I think 5 years I didn't cry. I would wake up in the morning, wow, go, I need to cry. I'd get into the shower and I'd be like, oh, that's gone, thank goodness, you know.
Oh, wow.
And that was how I coped going to work, like just to
the opposite of connecting with yourself, which is what you're saying.
Totally, like, yeah, block. Mm-hmm. just block until finally I didn't even leave intentionally. I went on a bit of a vacation after a really big job, met this incredibly beautiful man for 5 days, and then 3 months later he was like, come and visit me over here.
And
I jumped on a plane, flew across the world to go to this like gathering in the mountains and meet this person I'd met for 5 days. Because I had 2 weeks to spare before I was going to my next job, which was in Australia, which had my ticket booked, which had my accommodation, which had my visa. Like I was sorted for my next job.
Oh my God, wait, pause. I need to get all the juicy details on this. Hold on, wait, what's going on? So, you met this guy 5 days where?
In Cambodia.
Oh my God. I love this.
So I was working in South Africa on films, and there was this big job that came to Namibia, and I ended up packing up my apartment and my life. I just ended a relationship. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go and work for a year in Namibia. And off I went for a year. And then at the end of that, I was like, oh, well, I've got nothing going on. So I took 3 months off and went and traveled and met him in Cambodia for 5 days.
Oh my God, yes.
Just lost contact. Then I went back home to South Africa, and we reconnected like months later, and he was like, I'm going to Greece to this gathering in the mountains, do you want to come? I was like,
that's like exactly the opposite of what your parents tell you to do. It's like, go with a random person into the mountains. Sure.
Actually, I said to my mom, I was like, mom, do you think I should go? She was like, yes.
Oh my God.
I love your mom.
I know, your parents sound great. She's like, live your life, girl, you're young.
Or did I mention he was 8 years younger than me?
No, but even better, yes. Oh my God. Wait, so what was this gathering in the mountains? It sounds very mysterious.
Oh, it was a rainbow gathering.
I don't know what that is.
Anything to,
I think I may have heard of it, actually.
A bunch of hippies get together and live in nature, really, for a month.
Wow.
And they cook together, and yeah, there's like communal gatherings of food, and this magic hat where you can put money into if you want to. I don't really understand how the whole thing like sustains itself, because no one really has any money, but yet there's always food. I'm not really sure.
Wait, is this something that happens globally, like around the world?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna Google
this. I
think
it started in the States.
We'll put this in the show notes, guys. We'll find a website.
Yeah,
but there's not much about it online. Anyway, so it was the European gathering in Greece. And, I said, okay, sure, I'll come, you know, I've got 2 weeks, I'll come and I'll meet you there. And I was like, how am I going to find you? Because you're not supposed to have any kind of technology there. You're not allowed to photograph anything. You're not supposed to have your phone with you. And he's like, well, you're coming on this day. I'll be by the main fire. I was like, okay, great. I get there. There's 1,500 people.
Oh my gosh.
How am I going to find this person?
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I just turn around and he's just like standing right there. It was really kind of amazing.
Oh my God, of course he was. Of course.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. Yeah, you could write a book about this. This is great.
Anyway, so 2 weeks landed up being 2 months. Landed up, I went to go back to Israel. I pushed my ticket. I didn't go to Australia in the end. And I went to study dance in Israel for a year, which was really, I said I'd keep this short, but it was really just my
reconnection. No, don't keep it short. I love it. I like the long, I like the long version.
This is like, I met my husband because we went to college together. Like, this is like, I.
Yeah, this is like some eat, pray, love shit.
Yeah. But it's like, making me, it's making me so happy. So yeah, please. Yeah.
So yeah, so when we were in Israel, I attended this dance school, which was for me like a return to myself, a return to my body. I danced when I was like 3 to 18. It was really my connection to when I went into film, it was like I couldn't, like, it was really stopping that. So this was like coming home for me in a lot of ways. And I had an amazing year dancing there. And then there was a war that broke out and I was like, I'm getting out of here. And I ran off. We actually separated as well. Things were a bit rough for us at the time. And I ended up going to Germany, mostly because it was the cheapest ticket I could find. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend there. And I ended up finding this like international dance community on the border of Berlin, well, like outside of Berlin, on the border of Germany and Poland, where I ended up spending 2 years dancing and cooking and traveling to Belgium to study dance and movement psychotherapy for 2 years.
Wow. What a dream.
And yeah, it wasn't long after that we reconnected and my husband came.
Wait, so by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys didn't get this, they are now married. This handsome, beautiful young man, 8 years younger than her, they're now married with you've got one kid, another one on the way.
Wait, yeah.
By the time you are listening to this, that other kid is in Jay's arms.
Yeah, so I'm saying, follow your dreams, girls.
It's totally possible.
It's funny. So I have said before on the podcast, or maybe not on the podcast, but like my husband is like really, he's a Capricorn. Like he's very stable, and like he's my stability, and I'm so, that means so much to me. And I sometimes say like, oh, I'm the one who's like, you know, wants to take it, like it's really adventurous and this or that. But like hearing your story, I am like, oh. I gotta trade that card in. Like, because I'm listening to this story, and my whole body is like, oh my god,
I know. What?
Like all these countries and places, and like, so my subconscious likes to keep it a little more local.
Yeah, talking about being the adventurous one, I would say that he's the adventurous one.
It's so beautiful and inspiring. I love it.
That's so amazing. Yes.
Yeah, so we landed up spending a couple of years in Germany. But anyway, I mean, I guess the part that I missed out somehow is actually with the war that broke out in Israel at that time, I started having panic attacks. And no, it's not like I wouldn't blame the war, but it was like the instigator. It was the thing that kind of, you know, I was in this tiny town in the middle of the desert, and I was like, oh my God, I woke up and they were like, oh, war, this war started. And I was like, oh geez, like I'd kind of been buried my head in the sand while I was there. And they were like, but don't worry, you know, we live in this tiny little remote place and nothing's gonna happen. Like, you're not even gonna know that it's going on. And 5 minutes after the conversation, the first alarm went off in that village. And I just panicked. Like I just went into a full blown panic attack.
Yeah.
And what I mean is the war wasn't the reason for the panic. The panic was the years of trauma that the traumatic events that I'd had experienced in South Africa that I had tried to normalize, because like not many people have had, well, not everybody's had the same level of experience, the same level of trauma as I had in South Africa. But so I experienced quite a lot, but there was also just this like, oh, well, you must just deal with it. Oh, this is just how it is here. Mm-hmm. And only when I left and I started to reconnect to myself, did I realize it was like that dreadful noise in the background that you don't realize it's there until you turn it off. It's like, oh, actually, I've been feeling unsafe for years.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I've been hypervigilant and aware and unable to connect to myself, not only because of the kind of work that I've been doing, but also because I would walk home into my apartment at 11 o'clock at night after I'd just locked up the office all by myself, last person there, into an apartment and go like, okay, deep breath, turn on all the lights, go and look in all the rooms, look behind all the doors and in the shower and make sure there's nobody standing inside the apartment, you know, and then put the alarm on so that you're like locked inside, safe. You know? I mean, how to live a life of separation, you know, I don't, anyway, it was just, so this like breaking down of this internal wall for myself, and then this alarm going off was just like a sign for me, and I just crumbled.
Yeah, well, it just like triggered it. It like woke. Yeah. It was like the catalyst for being like, something is hasn't been addressed, and now I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Now you got it. It's forcing you to deal with look it. At it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I interestingly enough, like no matter where I went, I landed up feeling like the trauma was following me, you know. I was in Paris on a bus leaving the night the bombs went off, you know, and it was like I just got out of the country in time, and I was in Belgium when they thought the terrorists were in Belgium, and it was like I was like trying to get to the airport. It was like until I had really addressed it for myself somehow, it was just going to keep on breaking me down.
Well, like you just said, like if your subconscious thoughts will create your reality, and if you don't address them, then that will be your reality until you dissolve it.
And the first time somebody said to me, oh, well, you must have done that. And I was like, thank you very much for telling me I just attracted somebody into my life to put a gun to my head. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You're here to swear, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got that little explicit content logo.
Yeah, so the first time I was confronted with that, I got really, really angry. And then years later, when I was sitting in therapy, and actually I had come to this realization myself, and I turned around to my therapist and I was like, you know, actually, I feel like I've brought all of this into my life. And she was like, she really like stood back and she was like, you can't take that on. You can't hold yourself responsible. And I was like, it's not only that I can, I have to. Like, that is the way that I cope now, because understanding that I have that power, understanding that I attracted that into my life, means that I have the capability of keeping myself safe and of changing my outlook on the world and of creating a different reality. And she really couldn't kind of, she couldn't really resonate with that. But it was an interesting moment for me to be able to stand behind and really own that.
Yeah. Well, because I think it depends on the intention behind the owning of it. Because I think what she's saying makes sense, right? For some people, that could be very toxic to be like, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm guilty. I feel shame, like all of these things. But it doesn't sound like that was that's completely the opposite of what you were saying. I think you were in some way stepping into your power and recognizing that.
I was stepping out of being a victim and going like, I'm powerful and I have a say in how my life runs from now on, which was so important for me. And to defend it in that moment was like, she was trying to take it away from me. And I was like, don't you dare.
You're like, don't you see, this is a breakthrough.
Yeah, exactly. This like breakthrough moment was really, really important to me.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
Because I think this, one of the things that I struggle with around this is, what is the difference between stepping into your power and holding a tight grip of control? Because they're different.
That's
such a good
question.
Are we talking about surrender again?
Basically, yeah. This is my thing. Can you just? But like, to me, like intellectually, I see that they're different, but I struggle to experience them differently, because, like, how do you step into your own power and recognize like, oh, I do have authority and power in my life, but also I have to let go of control of it. Like, they feel like they're the same even though they feel different.
Well, two things. One is, I think that in that moment, control was also really important. It was about control, you know, like control, like my sense of control was part of my power. That was mm-hmm. where my power came from. And, but on a broader, you know, look at that, it's the same for me as, well, what's the difference between fear and instinct? Because if I'm walking down the street and I see that person on that side of the road and that person on that side of the road, and I'd had a bad experience in the street before, you know, I have to decide, or is this my instinct saying to me, go that side of the road, or where is it coming from and what is it based on? And I think that the only way to respond to that is to drop into yourself and go like, this is my gut saying that this is, you know, this is me taking action out of a place of power, and this is me controlling and being fearful, you know, this is me feeling fear, this is me responding to an outside stimulus that I don't think is, you know, that could hurt me, that could, it's like, is that clear? Does that make
yes. sense? Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things for me, I feel it in my body, the power or intuition that feels really expansive. And like you mentioned space mm-hmm. before, and creating space, actually one of the first things you said, and that the fear response feels tight,
yeah. clenching
yeah. and yeah. cold and closed. Yeah.
And I would say to add to that, like, I do actually think control is a good thing sometimes. And so your question, I think, is so valid, because sometimes stepping into your own power can seem like you're just trying to control everything. But I think the difference is focusing on, and this is again a Byron Katie thing. She's always talking about how there's, or actually, no, this isn't a Byron Katie thing. It's like focusing on what you have control over and what you don't have control over. And we don't have control over 98% of things, basically. The only thing that we have control over is ourselves, meaning how do we respond to a situation? How do we show up in the world? So when I think of like stepping into my power, it's me taking ownership of what I do have control over and then surrendering almost everything else. Because again, that really is reality. We don't have control over how people are going to respond, how the world's going to, like, if this coronavirus is going to like keep going, you know, what age we're going to die. All we have no control over that. And that's, it's hard to decipher sometimes, because control is an illusion. We think that we have more control than we do. But when we're stepping into your power, it's like, no, I'm just going to like narrow my focus a little bit. And it's just on how I'm my part in this, if that, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something about, like, as you were talking about it, I was just taken back. I just saw this image of like someone practicing martial arts, to be standing in that sense of like, I understand my full power, but my whole body is soft. Like my knees are soft, my stomach is soft, my arms are soft, because from that point I have full capability of responding. You know, if you clench your stomach so you can't take that breath, you can't fully oxygenate your body, that, like, standing with everything tense and tight, that's coming from a place of fear. Standing in complete surety of who you are and understanding your own power, that's like being in your power and being ready for what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so
beautiful. But yeah, again, that's beautiful. Like,
that takes, I think, so much practice and
trust. Also,
it just takes reminding trust. Myself to breathe here, because you always, we do as people, we hold all the time. That there's that moment from the one breath to the next where we hold, and it's so easy to lengthen that hold and to starve ourselves of that oxygen, which is really not allowing ourselves to be fully there.
Totally. I notice that in myself all the time, because I notice what it's like to meditate and what my natural breath feels like. And even now, recording this podcast, I'm just excited. I'm not stressed, but I'm like excited, because these conversations make me excited. But I'm excited all the time. I'm like a little puppy. So every time I get excited, I can just feel my body clench, and I can tell that my breath becomes more shallow. And
yeah.
Even though even though excitement is like a wonderful thing, though, I do think I can feel myself feeling, and there's a time and place for excitement, by the way. I love being an excitable person, but I know that I'm not necessarily tapped into my full intuition necessarily when I'm in this excited, clenched phase. Like, that happens more when I'm still. And like you said, letting the air come in fully and naturally, my body is relaxed.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, meanwhile, I've made the mistake of having 2 cups of coffee when really I shouldn't drink any coffee. So half of me is showing up like so enjoying this, and the other half of me is like, you're dying.
Oh yeah, I know. So
my breath
too.
Is like my, I'm having a I'm really relating to the holding of breath and your breath doing weird things, because
yeah, I can relate to you. Like, I can't drink coffee anymore either.
It's a super, super beautiful warm day here. It's like really feels like spring, and it's early March when we're recording this, and I love iced coffee in the warm weather. Like, I just, there's something about warm weather that I'm like, it's iced coffee season. And then I remember that I can't drink coffee, and that it's a terrible idea.
What about decaf? Because this is the thing, I forget that decaf is an option. It's an option.
Because I think I just really, in the beginning, I thought it was like my defensive mechanism going, I just really like the taste of coffee, but I do just really like the taste of coffee. Like,
yeah,
I like really miss that in the morning where it's like this hot cup of like, but decaf, yeah, because I've obviously cut down with the pregnancy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait, so we got sidetracked. So then you told us this like beautiful, so yeah, so then you were triggered, you moved to Germany.
I moved to Germany, we lived there for a couple of years. My husband, he wasn't my husband then, he came over, and we resolved our stuff. And but we were still like jumping around like mad, you know, trying to figure out visas and where we could stay and where we couldn't. And then I did this really stupid thing of going back to South Africa and working in the film industry again to try and make some money, because I wasn't making so much money working as a cook in a, you know, dance festival. it felt like a really good idea at the time. And then I got there and was like, oh, this is what I left. Oh yes, this is why I can't do this anymore. And so it probably was a really good thing for me to do, but like literally landed up going to the bathroom and having panic attacks because I was like just not willing to shut myself off to the extent that I had been shut off, and not able to cope with that level of intensity.
So like previously you'd lived in that world because you just numbed yourself, and now you were unwilling to numb yourself, so it was really intolerable to kind of be in that space again.
I mean, I think it was also like, I feel like my nervous system had to recalibrate in a way. Mm-hmm. and it was in a super, super sensitive place, because I actually even found it difficult being, airports were super difficult, cities were difficult. It was probably the beginning, definitely was the beginning of my transition into countryside, living with livestock as neighbors. but just like, just really taking refuge in that quietness and feeling so overwhelmed by the busyness. So, you know, filmmaking and events organizing was just like, it was mental, and I didn't really cope. So anyway, reconnected back in Germany for another year, and then we decided that mostly for bureaucratic reasons that we couldn't stay there, and we were like, yeah, sure, Ireland.
You mean it was like random on a whim?
It was pretty random. Like, I have dual citizenship, so I have an Irish passport, which means we could have been anywhere in Europe, but it was like, okay, well, they speak English there and we can work easily. Uh-huh. And
not small things.
Yeah, I think it was actually quite practical.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh yes, Ireland, we both have this longing to go and live in Ireland. It was like, oh yeah, I wanted to stop essentially backpacking, which has been what we've been doing for years. Like, I left home with a backpack and that's what I've been traveling on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how long do you think you did that? Not necessarily nonstop, but like
maybe like 4 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
4 years of just like constantly moving. Yeah. And not really like having a base. It'd be like, oh, we'll spend 6 months here and then you can't be here anymore. And I'll go over there and try and make some money, and you go over there and then we'll meet up over there. And he was in Romania making music. And anyway, we were really all over the place. But we were like, I said to him, you know, if we're going to have a baby, then I want a place that I call home. Like, a house. So we got in our mobile home and drove out of mainland Europe and into Ireland, and we were like, we'll give it a try and see if we can figure it out. Settled quite quickly and started having babies. But inside of that, you know, I dove quite deeply into the dance and movement therapy. Although somatic movement is very important to me and a big part of my own life and my own journey, I didn't feel that modality was what I wanted to continue with. And so I just started searching for something else. I think I heard about Psyche on a podcast once, and then I heard about it on a podcast again. I was like, what is this thing? I looked it up. I found a practitioner a facilitator in Ireland, but she actually lived a couple of hours away. So I did a session with her. It was a remote session. I was like, well, that was really interesting. And then I found a course that was the same week in South Africa that I wanted to see my dad for his birthday. And I was like, well, that's very
convenient.
Aligned.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went over there. And I lost a baby the day that I got to South Africa to do that course. I don't know. I wasn't sure if I was going to say that. But it was a really big part of my journey because I wasn't sure that I would make it to the course. But having to process that, it was literally a week from the time I lost the baby until the time and to clarify, it was a super early pregnancy because sometimes people think I mean something like I lost a child when I say that. So it was a week later, and it gave me some really powerful material to work with inside the course because it's all about self-process. And I think that was part of my connection to it, was like, oh wow, like inside of this place, this is the relief I can get so immediately. I think one of the first things we learned was the trauma release that I was speaking about earlier. And I went up, I couldn't actually hold myself back because I had so much emotion surging through my body. I actually went up into the front of the group and was like, yeah, I have to deal with this right now. Kind of, I need to process this. And that shift for me was so profound that actually it was just an incredible gift to have that tool to work with. So that's how I found Psyche.
Wow.
Sorry, got a little bit heavy there.
But such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And also, if I'm going to be honest, I really want to try. That's where I'm minding us. I'm like, this sounds incredible.
If I whisper, it hits your subconscious.
Yeah.
Does that work, right?
I think that's the problem with this podcast is that people just, you know, their experiences, and people come to the show with so much to share. And I just want to try it all. Because I do believe that life is kind of like an experiment, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we should get some sponsors and then we'll just start like, you know.
Yeah.
No, Morgan, of course you can come and have a session, it'd be great.
Yeah. We'll send our sponsorship money on like every guest, we'll just buy multiple sessions from.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, we need to get sponsors. If you want to sponsor us, guys, anybody listening,
sponsor us so we can just buy all the healing modality sessions ever.
Yeah.
Hashtag dream life.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
So do you practice locally now, or is it all remote?
Mostly remote. Out of choice somehow. Even though we're here in Ireland, we're not 100% committed to staying here. So it was quite important for me to create a business that business is such a weird word to use for this kind of stuff. It's like, create a practice where I could work from, as you can understand, we're quite nomadic people.
Yeah.
So that was important that we could move around. And I also live in this like tiny town in the middle of nowhere. And by tiny town, I mean, I live in the tinier village outside the tiny town in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And, and it's quite an alternative scene. So there's a lot of, it's quite bizarre that it is like this, but there's quite a lot of alternative healings being offered around here, and I didn't feel like trying to establish myself here with a modality that wasn't really understood, or it didn't feel like the right step. So yeah, I work remotely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about living remotely? I think, I don't know what my question is, so I'm going to just think out loud and then see where I land. But I oftentimes feel this pull, I think I feel this pull also to, my life has actually gotten much simpler since moving from New York and then to Taipei. And then now here in Arizona, I'm in the desert. It's just much less social obligations. I have a lot more time to myself and I love it so much. So much. But I sometimes wonder if me pulling away is it me? I have this pull for it, but I don't know if it's me also just shutting out the outside world. Like, what's the difference between finding space for yourself because you thrive in it, but I don't want to have to, you know, I come back to this example of the Buddha or this like a monk at a meditation center. It's like, he's meditating in his center and he's great when he's there, but he goes down to the outside world and he's like, oh, I can't take it. He has to like go back into his monastery. And I'm like, well, what's the point of doing all that meditation and all that stuff if you can't just be, if you can't meet the world more fully?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And I think my experience in Germany, that was me pulling, you know, I say Germany, but like, you know, going to live in the desert in Israel and then going to live in the, like, really in the middle of nowhere in Germany. And that was like, yeah, hiding. That was hiding. Mm-hmm. But at that moment I needed to hide. I don't know, mm-hmm. like that, you know, and then slowly as I've felt more, I guess as my connection to myself has really grown, but on a very physical level, as my nervous system has calmed down, mm-hmm. and my ability to be more around stimuli, I guess, mm-hmm. has increased again. So there has been more integration back into into normal world, no, into socializing. But and now I feel like it's a choice, you know. Now it's like, well, actually, I really enjoy my time, mm-hmm. And I think if you're doing it to the detriment of yourself, where you can't go back,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or if you're hiding, but you're not hiding to heal, like,
you're right.
What's the reason? You know, like, are you hiding because you need to be quiet and alone, mm-hmm. and or are you?
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, when I left New York and went to Taiwan, I wasn't hiding, but I was like, oh my God, get me. I was ready to get out of that city. I was like, too much stimuli, too much social stuff going on all the time. And Taiwan was very much a time for me to, not have to do all that. And that was great. And now, so this is helpful. I'm getting a little therapy session here because I'm realizing, yes, this is a choice. And I'm here because it's I don't feel like I'm hiding. But I guess I'm thinking about this because I've talked about on the podcast before. Yeah, I don't plan on staying in Phoenix. My partner and I are probably going to move as well. And we're trying to figure that out. And I want to find that balance between, I want to live in nature and I want to be have the option of being alone if I want to be, but also I enjoy the gifts of living in a city.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's so easy when you live in the city, like, because what makes that the ideal as well, you know, like, why does that have to be our reality? And what is that the marker against, like, oh, this is what's right, you know? Why does the monk have to go and experience the real world? And I hear what you're saying, like, it is, the real world is the real world, but at the same time, the real world is the world we create, mm-hmm. for ourselves, you mm-hmm. know. And yes, my choice is to live in the middle of nowhere where the next town only has 4,000 people.
Oh my goodness. But see, part of me feels like that sounds so amazing to me. That sounds like that sounds like a dream.
Yeah. And it's the reality that we've chosen for now, you know. And and then I'm always like really self-conscious when people come to visit and I'm like, this is like a retreat, guys. You're gonna come here and just like do nothing.
Yeah, do nothing. Yeah. But I'm sure people must appreciate that. Some people do.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Like, everyone comes in, they're like, oh my God, I had such a peaceful sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I went so deep. I was like, yeah, imagine trying that every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, we create our own realities, and it's and that is choice, and we have choice. And in a world where there is so much going on all the time, you know, like never mind if you live in New York or not, you know, you can preoccupy yourself wherever you are these days. Yeah. It's just like that time to turn off, that time to connect is just, it's a choice, I guess.
And
you get to make that choice.
Yeah. And I also think it's just about meeting yourself where you are and accepting that's what you, yeah. So like when you went to Germany to hide, that's what you needed. And that was okay. You gave yourself what you needed because that's what you needed. And I don't think that there's like anything wrong with that. It's only bad when we start to judge ourselves for it. Right.
Yeah.
But if you're okay with where you're at and you're meeting yourself halfway, then I think it's all good.
Yeah. And the times I found it the most difficult is when I've had to go back, really go back home because, and then try and explain it there, you know, like I don't have any judgment on myself when I'm where I am. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, if I have to go back and explain to those people, those choices that I've made, like we're so far removed right now. I don't know if we could ever come to some kind of understanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's been another part of my own journey is just, you know, owning that and owning those choices, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel so, I don't know, inspired. I mean, I think one thing that stands out to me from your whole story is just the power of listening to what you need in the now, which then might shift. Like, that's what I hear both of you saying, right? Is that like right now you might need something and that doesn't have to be what you need for forever, but you can honor what that is. And then when it shifts, trust that you'll know when it's time to shift.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think sometimes we get so caught up in trying to find like the final answer. And sometimes we just got to get from A to B.
Yeah.
Because once you get to B, something will be a little bit more clear. And then that'll take you to C. I see that a lot in my clients too. They like have to figure out this whole grand plan and then it's overwhelming. But we don't understand that life is always changing too. So like if you just make a little change, like the circumstance will change a little bit and you'll have a little bit more clarity.
Right. And also like, what is the final? Like we are ever expanding infinite beings. Like there's no... There is no like finish line.
Yeah.
Oh, so tell me true. That. Tell me that like 2 days from now when I'm, you know, when I need to hear that.
Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah. I will try and remind you if I can remember, but yeah, I might be caught up in the same story.
Yeah. Like 50% of the conversations Eve and I have outside of this podcast are just us saying like the same thing the other person said 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now it's your turn to hear this.
Yeah. A constant relearning.
Which I hope that everybody has a friend like that or multiple friends like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So do you have any other questions, Kylie?
I have a million things that we can talk about, but we'll just save them for the next time when you come back.
Yeah, who knows? By that time, you may be in a different place. You'll have another little one. We don't know where you're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So before, as we wrap up, our last question that we always like to ask is, what is something that is bringing you joy right now?
My 2.5-year-old, it's just wow. And to be like really, really honest, it's just so wow because I've also allowed myself the space to have something else, which as a mom has been a challenging process for me. But that like, the more I give myself the space that I need, which I didn't in the beginning, obviously. Well, there was less space, but the more I'm able to appreciate him in ways that are just, oh wow, so amazing. Like he comes in from his day and to the front door, he's like, "Mommy, mommy, are you in your room?" My office, you know, and he's like, "I want to give you a big hug." And he's just like, it's just aww. Every day. It's just this like joy to see me and that ability to be able to feel that joy back for him and feel like I'm full and can give to him in that moment is so meaningful and powerful and joyful for me. It's like, yeah, really joyful.
Yeah.
Oh man. I needed to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. Can I clarify? When you say the space, you mean the space for something, your own thing. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. My space for my own thing, for my own connection and that also means my own work, you know.
Oh my goodness. I'm sure moms across the planet could really appreciate this message. Yeah.
Because it's in the beginning I thought being a mom was giving everything, you know, like, and I'm just letting go of the layers of guilt around that to understand that actually being the best mom is being the best me and being mom at the same time.
And girl, preach. Yes.
and it just gives me this capacity to experience joy with him that is, you know, is beyond, like, the space away just yeah.
What do you think, Kylie? I can see your I can see you taking it in.
This is like honestly, like, really, really, really something I needed to hear, because I have been really, on a personal note, really, you know, you go through waves, and I've been really, my daughter's about to turn one, and I have, like, you know, when your kid turns one, it's emotional. I think your kid's birthdays probably always are, but something about my daughter being about to turn one, I have a lot of feelings about it that I can feel rising up, and it's manifesting itself in a lot of guilt that I have not done enough, that I haven't been enough, that I haven't enjoyed her enough. And that I'm selfish when I do something like record a podcast instead of sit and stare at her adoringly. Basically that I don't love her enough, which on some level I can recognize that, like, whatever part of me thinks that is, it's just that I'm not loving myself enough. You know, like, that's really the answer, is that I just need to love myself enough. Whatever I think I need to give her more, I have to give myself more first.
Yeah.
But it's hard because I think that we are so steeped in this image, this idea that motherhood is like, that motherhood is sacrifice, and to love your kids is to sacrifice everything. Yeah. And that's
what we're taught.
And that to do anything for yourself ever is selfish and to be a bad mother. So your joy is very healing for me in this moment, so thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Kylie? What's something that's bringing you joy?
Jay's answer to that question.
Yes.
You know, I think, I feel like I, for so long, have been really on this kind of spiritual inquisitive journey. And one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast was to, like, build more community around that and get out of my own head so much. And I just feel like my little world is exploding with, like, people who secretly been witches.
Yes. You know?
And, like, making these connections, like, I just feel like, and all, actually in particular connections, I feel like I made a lot of connections with women who are spiritually curious and also mothers, but I just feel like people who I've known for years that I didn't know were, you know, asking these same kind of questions, and also people, like, around the world. And I'm just really grateful, because it's really affirming that, it's just really affirming that we're not actually in this alone. And I'm really, really grateful for the community that's popping up in my life. So that's bringing me a lot of joy.
Yeah. It's beautiful. So mine is actually quite simple. My thing that's bringing me joy is Tame Impala's new album.
We were just listening to it at dinner last night.
Yes. So if you follow me on Instagram, I feel like I'm always posting, like, music that I listen to, and I'm a really big music nerd. And every so often an album comes along that I just get completely engulfed in, and it does feel spiritual. The thing is, it doesn't happen as much as I would like it to, probably because I listen to less music now, or sometimes I wonder if I'm older and I'm just crotchety and I'm like, I don't like this new stuff that's coming out. I don't know. But, like, God, I love it when an album gets its hooks into me. It feels like the album is doing something to me. And then I have, like, something to look for. I, like, look forward to listening to it. It's amazing to me that an album can do that to me. And I'm talking about, it has to be an album too. Like, I'm very much an album person. I want to listen to an album from beginning to end and know that the artist has put it together that way very intentionally. So I don't know. The album will have been out for a while now once this podcast comes out. But for anyone who's listening and needs a good, solid pick me up, there's my rec.
It's a good one. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where, you know, we tell people where they can find you, where they can follow you on social media, how they can book a session with you, that sort of stuff.
My website's trulyalignedlife.com, and that's probably the easiest way to book a session. Otherwise, Truly Aligned at on Instagram and Facebook. But one thing I didn't really touch on, but I wanted to just say one thing about the sessions that I'm working with. There's a new offering that I'm doing, working within the Akashic Records with Psyche. But alongside that, there's another element of my Psyche work that's opening up as well, which is about receiving messages from your higher conscious, and they work really beautifully together. I recently did the health and well-being element of the Psyche practice, a workshop on that, and I feel like it's opened things up hugely, and I'm really excited to share that. I don't know, is it okay to say, Kylie, that you're gonna experience that?
Yeah.
With me in the future?
Yes.
And I feel that it's adds another element to Psyche that is really quite wow, because Psyche, as we talked about, is this tool that allows you to shift things. But this new way, and I say new because it's a new tool that I've learned within Psyche, but this new way of receiving messages, it's like, oh, well, now you also know exactly where you need to direct that tool. Mm. So there's that. And then there's also working within the records, which I feel hugely intensifies the healing process, but also the ability to receive messages. And I'm really excited to explore that further. And I'm really glad that Kylie's going to be experiencing it. And Eva, I'd love to offer
I want
to
try.
Well.
Yes, I would love to try. Seriously. Yeah, I feel like this is coming in a good time, because I feel like I have some stuff coming around. I don't even know. I've just been feeling tense and I'm not sure why. And I feel like you might be able to help me get to that.
Yeah. So there's a whole process we can do in like, what is the tension trying to tell me? Like, what is the tension in my body? And that could be like, what's the tension in my left shoulder trying to tell me? Or what is the situation that keeps repeating in my life trying to tell me? Or
oh my God. Yes. I'm so excited. Cause I've been looking for other modalities too. Cause I think I work with a lot of mind stuff because I'm a very cerebral person. And so that works really well for me, but I feel like there's so much more out there, and that, and again, I was expressing interest in, somatic healing, or I think I've never really tried any of that stuff before. So there's a whole world of possibilities out there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Great. All right. So we'll link all of that in the show notes so you can find Jade. Nice. Yeah. And I guess that's it, folks. That's it for today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh yeah. This was so great. Your story was amazing.
Yeah. What a really delightful interview. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
We will
see
all the rest of you next week.
All right. So if you like our show, please like and subscribe. You can leave a review and you can follow us at Hello Universe Pod. That's our Instagram handle. And also our website is Hello Universe Pod, .com.
Correct.
And, and you can find me, Eva, at Instagram at Bad Bitch Living.
And I'm Akasha Grace on Instagram.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, thanks. Bye. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.